Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand out of respect for the Word of God as I continue to preach as lovingly and as kindly as I can. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. Part 34 is a psychological issue. It is a spiritual issue that many people in America have bought into, including people in the church. It is something that we can't, they think, overcome. But as the civil rights leaders and people used to sing as they marched, we shall overcome. Lyndon Baines Johnson said the same thing when he signed a particular bill freeing black folk in the segregated South. More. That old white Texan said with a trembling voice, catching hell for saying so, right in the cameras, he said, "And we shall overcome." That was a game changer. Part 34, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 88. As I told you, I am not going to finish this series this year. If the Lord tarries, is coming starting February the 1st. If the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, I will resume it at that time. But we want to get back to the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign proper. This is a part of it. Going into the holiday season over the next 3 months, by the grace of God, I hope you got enough. I hope that you have received enough. By the time I wrap this up, it'll be 100 messages in this series, and nearly 50 messages in this mini series within a series. Over the next 3 months straight, I want to focus all of my attention on what I love to focus all of my attention on, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and resurrected. The gospel and every word about Him. The Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, day 904, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1254, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's basically another John 3:16 right there for those of you who did not notice that. Herein is love, not that we loved God. I didn't love God before I got saved. Nor did you. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is a mandate. This is a commandment. This is something that if you're saved, you know you ought to do. In a very real sense. It is a heart thing. We have some people who try to camouflage their hatred by trying to show they love people when it is primarily a heart thing. That if you have your heart right, it will be manifested. It's a heart thing. Something that God does in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. And so as I said last night, be careful. Watch people who feel like they always have to just say, get in your face, I just love you. And you know, if you're a minority, it is so wonderful that you're here in our church. I just love you, you people, you black people, and I'm just so torn up how things are going, and I love you that you're here. When in most cases, if you truly love me, you won't even say anything like that. You just love me like you love everybody else. But you let them have that, and you let them do that, and then you got the good old boy slap on the back love, you know. I tell you, it's so good to see you all here. And where you from? All black people know that when you say where you're from, that's code language. Like, we know you're not from here. Because if you were from here, you wouldn't be here. But anyway. So let it be real, people. Let it be real. Well, how dare you think that I'm not being real? I don't know if you're real or not. It doesn't feel real. So, you know, you do what you got to do. Well, then I just won't say nothing. Okay. See, something's not right. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. May God help us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's another John 3:16 right there. Boom, bam. Right there. You can lead somebody to Jesus with that verse right there. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Are you there? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's the second time that this is mentioned in this passage. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, the evidence of your being a born again child of God is the love you have in your heart, not only for God, but for other people. Be they red, yellow, black, or white, or brown, be they your wife or your husband. For charity must begin at home, and I'm emphasizing that because we got folk in the church who think their family is the church. And yes, the family is a church, but that's not your main family. Dr. Billy Graham made it very clear. Real Christianity, he said, is lived out at the house. Real Christianity, your Christian life is going to be lived out at home, where you have to deal with wicked sinners who are part of your flesh and blood family. That's harder than seeing somebody just on Sunday morning for an hour. Oh, hey, Betsy. Hey, Bobby. How you doing? So good to see you. You haven't spoken to your wife like that all week. You haven't spoken to your husband like that all week. But y'all, they're showing you're behind, excuse me, at church. And as soon as y'all get in the car, the fangs come out. You have turned from the Brady Bunch to the Adams family, and you know it. Because at home all week long is the Adams family. But on Sunday morning, it's the Brady Bunch. Don't talk to me. Listen to me. Don't talk to me about racism when you don't even love your own family members. We need to get off of that. Prejudice in the church, marching, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, everybody. But you don't love your own family members. Excuse me. Please sit down somewhere with your family and pray and repent. Don't. Why do we do that? We do this in the church. We get all up in arms about stuff, and our whole family is jacked up down to hell. You don't even love one another in your own flesh and blood family. Stop being a hypocrite. Always out in the street marching and fussing and fighting and trying to get caught up in an issue. You love people in that you don't know more than you love your own family. This is not just about racism at all. It's about loving everybody. Loving your own family members. And if you love your own family members, you'll do like my dad, Daniel White Jr., who had every reason to leave his family, every reason, but he stayed. I remember as a teenage boy, my dad went on a trip to take care of some business, and the family was left home, and there was a man in the church who evidently had his eye on my mother. And my dad woke me up in the middle of the night when he returned home and said, "Did Reverend so-and-so come by?" And I told him the truth. I said, "Yes, sir." Now, I'm a kid, so I don't know all that's going on, but I knew something was wrong. I knew something was up. My dad had every reason to leave my mother and leave his family, but he stayed. You know why? Because he got saved one day listening to Billy Graham, I do believe. And he truly got born again. He was not like the rest of the preachers. I mean, no, I've never met a man who loved people more than him. You may be seated. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, because I might be here a little while. He had the love of Jesus in his heart. He did. Had every reason to leave his family, but he chose to stay. He saw it through. and the, probably the first one in the long line of Daniel Whites. He was Daniel White Jr. My grandfather was Daniel White Sr. I'm Daniel White III. And my son is Daniel White IV. And I have another son named Daniel who's really not the fifth, but is the, we call him the fifth. Daniel Ezekiel White, who, by the way, helped me with this sermon. So many of you have every reason to leave, but because you love, because of the love of God in you, you stay. And you're glad that you stayed, because it works out if you stay. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath a torment. And so many of you are afraid. You're fearful because you don't have love in your heart. You're concerned all the time, overly concerned about stuff. Worried, afraid, fearful, fretting. Because your love, the love in your heart is not right. You don't have God's love in your heart. That's why you're always afraid of things and of people. You're jittery, you're jumpy. You think somebody, listen to me very carefully, you think somebody is always picking on you. You listen to me, you have a problem. You have a sickness called fear. God has made it very clear that God's people ought not to have fear, always looking worried, afraid of this and that, always concerned about the future. You don't trust in God. You don't love God as you should, and so that's why you're always looking scared and afraid and fearful. You're not trusting in God. You're not experiencing, you're not experiencing the love of God as you should. There's something wrong somewhere, and therefore you don't love God and you don't love people. How can you love other people and you don't love God? How can you love God and love and not love other people? We talked about that the other day. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is deeper than what I'm going to go tonight. We love him because he first loved us. I quote that verse all of the time, and you should too. You need to remember that. He loved us. We love him back because he first loved us. I didn't love God before I got saved. I went to church. I participated in the Easter plays, but I didn't love God. I didn't know God. I was a lost religious man, person rather, and because I was much younger. We love him because he first loved us. That's the only reason why you love God. Because he first loved us, and he sent his only begotten son, which he mentioned twice already in this passage, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. Don't you ever forget that story, because it is the most wonderful story in the history of the world, and no true preacher gets tired of telling it, and no true Christian gets tired of hearing it. It's amazing. Most of us, if we watch a movie one time, that's it. I don't want to see it again. I don't want to go back to it. These people who go to movies 6 and 7 times, these are sick people to me. Paying the same amount of money to go back to see the same movie, that's ridiculous. I don't watch it. Movies come on TV that I've already seen. I'm not going to watch it again unless it's extremely well done. Extremely well done. But the gospel story, it never gets old. Why? because it is an eternal story. It's God's story. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And that's pretty clear. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, husband, wife, children, church member, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, you see him every day, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? When you see others, you're seeing the creation of God. And if you're mean and hateful to them, you're mean and hateful to God. If you don't love them, you don't love God. You're a hypocrite. You're phony. You're a liar. You are a fake. You're counterfeit. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Can somebody say amen? Amen, lights. Holy Father God, this passage, as is all of your holy word, out of this world. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the liberty to preach every day, and so that I can dig down deeper than most of preachers today. But Lord, I don't care. It doesn't matter how many days I have left. I could never reach the bottom of this passage, never. My heart is so full just from reading it tonight, to the point that I just want to close. I believe, it seemed like to me, that the message has already been preached. Lord, it seems like I'm getting a signal from you to just go ahead on and just leave it at that tonight. And let it sit there. Let it marinate on the hearts and minds of the people. And Lord, I pray and I pray that the people who don't know you as Savior will understand tonight that you love them more than they love themselves, to the point of sending your only begotten Son. For John 3:16 is in this passage at least two times, all over again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, open the blinded eyes of the lost. Save those who are lost tonight. Help Christians who are already under conviction to confess their sins and repent. Some have grown so cold towards you. They don't love you as they used to. They need to get back to their first love. For it appears, Lord, from reading your holy word, it's all about love. It's all about your love. To the point, Lord, that because you first loved us, we now love you, those of us who are saved and born again. It is an amazing thing that you have done. And so, Holy Father God, tonight, help people to realize, Christians, that you love them more than they love themselves, and they should love you back, and they should love their brothers and sisters in Christ, starting at the house, starting with their own family. Maybe they need to go and apologize to somebody in their family. Maybe they need to make some adjustments and changes. Maybe they need to repent. Maybe they need to stop being proud, and some pharisaically proud and stubborn and rebellious and mean and hateful. maybe they need to stop putting on the devilish silent treatment that so many people use in families. Maybe they need to stop the withholding of sex from one another, especially wife towards a husband, because she does not love him as she used to, or he doesn't love her as he used to. And those who have racist hearts, they know who they are, and you know who they are. Lord, help them to examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. And Holy Father God, help us all to pray as Christians. Seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, and humble ourselves before you. And help us to get back to you, our first love. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and help people who are under the sound of my voice around the world. And there's no telling how many. And Lord, only you really know. We read our statistics, almost 10,000 people last week, and probably over that if we counted all of the stats. That's just a result of a few stats. And Lord, I pray that you will touch every heart, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, those who are live with us, those who will hear us later on tonight through the power of the technology you've given us, which is amazing. And this is the greatest time to be alive in proclaiming the gospel. And I thank you for the privilege and allowing me to see this day. And so, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Help them to see your love and sense your love through the gospel and be saved tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you are listening or you're watching, what have you, if you are with us today and you are a Christian listening and watching, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. Get your heart right with God. One of the things I've told my family over the past 33 years, we don't have to be specific sometimes, because it's not a matter of being specific about certain sins. Some people just need to get their whole heart right with God, because if they focus on one sin over here, they come out with some other sins over here. So what you need to do, dear friend, is get your heart right with God. You know what you need to do. You already know what your sins are. You know how your heart is corrupt or prejudiced or racist or hateful to your own family member, to your own flesh and blood. And don't poo-poo on that. There are husbands killing their wives and children as I speak. There are wives killing their husbands and their children as I speak. We hear it so much in the news now, people are numb to it. People watch the news and hear stuff like that while they're eating their dinner, enjoying their dinner. Kind of like how the Romans watched the gladiators eating and drinking and watching people kill one another. We are a sick nation. The whole head, according to Isaiah, the whole head is sick. Get your heart right with God. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love, so that they can love their family again and love their friends again and stop doing the silent treatment, which so many devilish people do, Christian people do. The silent, I'm not going to speak to him anymore. I'm going to show him how much I hate him and how much I'm going to control him or her. and you pass like ships in the night in your own house. And then as soon as you get to church, you love everybody. You speak to everybody. Your husband is waiting for you in the car. Your wife is waiting for you in the car for 45 minutes because you're so caught up in fellowshipping. And you haven't said a word to them all week. Now stop it. Stop it. You work with the children in church. You act like you love those children so much, but you don't love your own children. You work in a daycare center, and you take care of 6 children. You take care of 8 children. You won't even take care of your 5 or 6. And you just love them and hug them so tight, and you don't hug and love and say, I love you, to your own children. There's something wrong. I don't care if you like it or not. This is the hypocrisy that we have going on in the church. And everybody wondering why God won't move. God is not going to move in no mess like that. Starting right there at the house. We got people who believe that you can have revival at the church and the family is dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. That's not happening. Because the family makes up the church, man. Number 3, pray for souls to be saved in spite of yourself. And do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. If you're an introverted person, at least pass out some gospel tracts. You're not a gregarious individual, do something. Everybody is commanded to do something. It's not a suggestion. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell somebody about Jesus. As I'm going to do right now. You have read, you have seen, you have heard tonight that God loves you repeatedly over and over. And so if you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. See, this is already settled. Okay? This is, if you will, God's law. And we have violated God's law. You must understand, even with the law today in America, there's no mercy in the law. Do you understand me? There's no mercy in the law, man. There's no provisions for mercy and grace in the law, even in the American style law system. If a judge shows you some kind of mercy and grace, like the judge did with Geiger the other day, which she didn't show anything as far as her sentencing, that is not in the law. That has nothing to do with the law. That's a God thing, a human thing. God's law is established. If you break His law, you will die and you will go to hell if you do not trust Christ as Savior. And speaking of hell, Jesus Christ Himself, that most people in the world have some respect for. Most people in the world believe that Jesus Christ is at least special, a significant figure in history. Most people, no matter what their religion. And so He taught and preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers have in their lifetime. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. See, I have to tell you about this black backdrop for you to see and understand all this love that God is talking about, what he has done for you. God basically, dear friend, God wrapped himself in flesh, came down off his throne, and became the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world for you and for me. That's love for you. God died for you and for me. I know you don't understand it, but it's true. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, which means God in the flesh. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Right now, you're on your way to hell. You don't have to commit any more sins. You're on your way to a devil's hell if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So before you go out for that Friday night party, get your soul saved. Get your eternal life insurance policy in case you die tonight and wake up in hell. Hell is a very real place. Here are some of the things that you can do that will put you in hell, found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the Bible says, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 in the Holy Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ. And God wants you there more than you want to be there. See, that's the whole thing. That's how much he loves you. He wants you there so that he can fellowship with you and enjoy you and be your friend and have a good time with you. God wants you in heaven. That's why he sent his only begotten Son. That's why Jesus was willing to die on the cross for your sins. That's love for you, man. Don't spurn that love. Trust in Christ tonight. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me right now. Get your eternal life insurance policy right now, signed in the blood of Jesus. Pray and ask him to save your soul. And the word of God guarantees that he will save you. He will in no wise, no way cast you out. You have God's promise on it. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, your eternal law, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have lied before. And that's five of your commandments that I have broken, and I have broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. And forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for saving my soul. Help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe and believed in your heart tonight that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com right now and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, if you received Christ as your Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on the site you're on, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.